Well, I think it's kind of an open world, an open universe where anything can happen. And the way George Lucas developed it, where everything seems to have, you know, a backstory and a history to it, I think it's just really compelling, something that people can just kind of dive into and get lost in and find their own corner of the universe to kind of invest themselves and their imagination in.
And how does a reporter who's uncovered ancient temples transition to writing books about Star Wars?
it is an interesting transition. I was living overseas in Vietnam and Cambodia writing travel guides for the region, and I worked for a lot of different publishers. One of them happened to be DK, which publishes my Star Wars books now. So when I came back to the U.S., I just hopped over to their other department. But also, there's a commonality of adventure and with space exploration, exploring the Star Wars galaxy or exploring the real world, the ancient world here on Earth. It's all part of that spirit of adventure and spirit of exploration and fun that I think is common to both facets of my life. But I think it's a great thing for readers and viewers. If you're inspired in Star Wars, there's other things in the real world that are equally exciting that you can learn about and explore.
Mm-hmm. So the Star Wars fandom is incredibly vast. How did you choose what to include and what to leave out?
Right. Well, for Ultimate Star Wars, the book itself covers the 6 movies from the Star Wars saga, as well as the Clone Wars and Star Wars Rebels, which are the 2 animated series. So in terms of that, the parameters were set. But it is a tremendous amount of material. But fortunately, it's a really big book, so we were able to fit all the important stuff in. Pretty much everything gets referenced one way or another, whether a character has their own entry in the book or they're maybe mentioned across several other related entries. Thankfully, we've got a fantastic index in the back of this book, so you can find anything you want to learn about really easily. But it was something that we discussed with Lucasfilm to try to weed out and decide what to cover. And then we, as the writers, there are 4 of us, myself, Tricia Barr, Dan Wallace, and Ryder Windham, we discussed the publisher and bounced some things off of Lucasfilm to decide what to pick. But it was a daunting task. I think a lot of work went into it even before the writers got involved.
Mm-hmm. And you talk about conversations with Lucasfilm. How involved were they in putting the book together?
Lucasfilm and the publisher worked together quite extensively in the planning stages of the book, because this is a landmark book for Lucasfilm and the Star Wars universe as well. What it does is it establishes what is considered Star Wars canon right now, which is what is the official story and the official facts and history of Star Wars. Because when Disney bought the company, there were some changes and shifts, and they set aside a lot of the old novels and comic books and video games and said, okay, now these we consider legends. There may be some truth in them. We may draw from them in the future, but for now they're legends, and we're going to just go forward with the 6 movies and the 2 animated series, and we're going to start fresh from here. So what this book does is it establishes the foundation of Star Wars going forward and getting ready for the upcoming movies. It's everything you need to know to jump into the new movies and new books and comics and things. But so, yeah, Lucasfilm and the publisher worked out, I guess, discussed a lot in the early stages. And then as we're going, as we write to different sections, we review those with Lucasfilm and send them back for any questions or any corrections. And then they'll send it back to us to work on it further. So it's a bit of a collaboration the whole way through.
Okay. All right. You've brought up probably the most recent controversy within Star Wars, with the question of what's in the canon and what isn't now, with completely moving forward in a different way with Episode 7. You know, do you have a take on Disney's decision?
Yeah. I think it has been controversial, some readers and some fans, because the previous canon, or the previously what was called the expanded universe, it basically started, I guess, like end of the 80s, early 90s. So it's been going about most of it's been going about 25 years, I guess, starting with the Timothy Zahn novels and the Shadows of the Empire game. And so a lot of that is very much beloved by fans, but it's also beloved by the people at Lucasfilm, the people that are working there now. I mean, all the employees there are fans themselves, and most of them were fans when the original Expanded Universe material came out and weren't working at Lucasfilm at the time and have come to work there since then. So they all love it as much as the fans do. But going forward, if Disney's going to make more movies and new material, George Lucas was never going to make movies off of that Expanded Universe material. He was always very adamant and very, very clear. There was never any question about it. So for Disney to move forward, I think it's important to set a lot of that aside so that they can be fresh and unencumbered. But as I mentioned, that it doesn't mean that they won't use this material at some point. There, for instance, the Clone Wars series, even though that came before the change, nonetheless, they were drawing a lot from the Expanded Universe to produce storylines for the episodes. And in my own books, even in Ultimate Star Wars, we have drawn a little bit here and there, sprinkled in the book, from comics or novels. If readers read carefully, they'll find passing references that are approved by Lucasfilm so that they're back in canon. But I think fans will just have to wait and see if any of that comes back. But for right now, it's considered legends, and like real-world legends. Some of it may be true, some of it may be not, but you'll just have to wait and see how Disney and Lucasfilm decide to use that in the future.
All right. So would a observant fan, do you think, be able to find some hints in the book about what we might be seeing in Episode 7?
No, the book itself actually doesn't cover episode 7. We kind of leave that for the future, for what's next, and the book just kind of sets you up for episode 7, so you have all the foundation of knowledge that you'll need. But that being said, there are a couple of making of photos for episode 7 that are in the book.
So how did you all decide to split the work up among you and your fellow authors?
That was mostly divided up just based on our own personal strengths and interests. For myself, I've written a lot about Star Wars Rebels, the new animated series on Disney XD, and I've written DK's visual guide to the series. So I worked a lot on the Rebels material, and since I have an interest in Star Wars monsters and creatures, I had a lot of creatures that I covered, but also bits from A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back.
Okay. So what was the most interesting thing you learned while putting together the guide?
Well, it seemed like the whole thing was constantly a learning process. There are a lot of kind of obscure characters that appear in A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back that I wrote about. That's actually where some of the old Expanded Universe I did draw from a little bits here and there. So, for instance, Momaw Nadon, the hammerhead in the cantina, I talk about the garden that he has up in the mountains on Tatooine and him hiding rebel spies back at his place. That was kind of fun to flesh out. Also, we have these spreads. They're called Key Moments, and what they do is they take a step back and examine particular points in time of the Star Wars storyline and analyze what's going on, how the characters and the events in Star Wars are all coming together at that focal point, and any recurring themes that are going on, it draws those out. And so I compare Anakin's choice, where in Revenge of the Sith, he makes his decision to follow Palpatine. And in another Key Moment, analyzing when Luke saves his father from the Death Star and confronts the Emperor. And what was interesting to me is in these two instances, the similarities that essentially in the first instance where Anakin Skywalker is making his choice. He's trying to save Padme, his wife, which would seem like a noble thing, but he's willing to sacrifice and destroy everybody else in the galaxy to save her in a very selfish way and to submit to the Emperor for that. Whereas in Return of the Jedi, Luke Skywalker is trying to save his father, but he's doing it in a very selfless way to sacrifice himself, and he's willing to die just for the opportunity to save his father. And so you've got these two parallel things going on, and I found it really interesting, you know, in the one instance you've got, you know, Emperor Palpatine zapping Mace Windu, Samuel Jackson, and throwing him out the window, and Anakin is helping to defeat Mace Windu. But in Return of the Jedi, you've got the Emperor zapping Luke Skywalker, but Anakin has an opportunity there to remake his original decision and to instead throw the Emperor out the window, or basically down the well.
And all right, I got to go back to episode 7 because that's what's coming forward. I assume you've been following any news that happens to come out about it. Do you have any predictions on what we'll see?
I don't have any predictions as such, but just that I am particularly excited about, well, there's so much to be excited about. I think the latest news that came out on StarWars.com was Andy Serkis and his character playing, I think they revealed his name was Supreme Leader Snoke. I'm particularly excited about his character, whoever he's going to play. I know I spend a lot of time in New Zealand. I've got a lot of friends that have worked on The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings. And the thing that I always hear from my friends is how devoted Andy Serkis is to his work and to his craft. And he always gives, you know, 200% to everything that he does, and he will not stop, and, you know, he will not leave until he's got it more than perfect. You know, as much as people love Gollum, I don't think Andy Serkis, the actor, gets enough credit for that. And so I think whatever he's going to do for Star Wars is going to be just incredible. There will be so many things we'll be talking about from Star Wars, I'm sure, but Andy Serkis, I think we're going to be talking about whatever his amazing performance is that we get.